From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says it's going to be hard for Iran to convince world powers that its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes only. The secretary told CBS's Face the Nation that Iran must present what she says is convincing evidence as to the purpose of their nuclear program and that Iran will be put to the test. Clinton also said Tehran can look for tougher sanctions if the U.S. and its allies don't get answers and changes that they're looking for. An added element came into the mix yesterday with the announcement that Iran had successfully test-fired longer-range missiles during military drills by the elite Revolutionary Guard. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is holding coalition meetings today after voters yesterday returned Merkel and her center-right coalition Christian Democratic Party to power. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports from Berlin.
Chancellor Merkel will hold meetings today with officials of her party to lay the groundwork for coalition talks with the pro-business Free Democrats. Merkel, whose CDU party got nearly 34% of the vote, now hopes to join forces with the Free Democrats, who got nearly 15%, to create a new center-right coalition after 4 years of sharing power with the Social Democrats. The head of the Free Democrats, Guido Westerwelle, is widely expected to be picked as foreign minister. Merkel says her priority now is to try to simplify the tax code, create new jobs, and return robust growth to Europe's largest economy. Although Merkel will get the coalition she wanted, she faces big challenges. Germany's economy is still hurting, and it's not clear she wants to move as quickly as the Free Democrats, who want to aggressively lower taxes and deregulate business. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Berlin.
The Supreme Court in Zimbabwe has ruled that the government cannot prosecute a leading human rights campaigner who is facing terrorism charges. The court ruled in favor of Justina Mukoko, saying her abduction and torture in detention had infringed her rights. NPR's Fabio Quist-Acton reports.
Justina Mukoko, who heads a Zimbabwean human rights group, sobbed with joy in the courtroom. She had challenged her prosecution, taking her case to the Supreme Court. Mukoko argued that President Robert Mugabe's state security agents abducted her from her home during a dawn raid last year and that she had been tortured while being held at secret locations. Zimbabwe's Chief Justice agreed that her captors had not upheld her rights. Accusations that Mukoko and others had been plotting to overthrow President Mugabe were widely condemned as politically motivated. The terror charges against Mukoko heightened tension within Zimbabwe's fragile power-sharing government. This ruling paves the way for charges against other activists to be dropped. Ofebia Quist-Acton, NPR News, Dakar.
Prices are higher on Wall Street after the opening. The Dow is up by 96 points. The Nasdaq is up by 30 points. This is NPR News. Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and author William Safire died yesterday at the age of 79. NPR's Claudine Ebed reports.
Safire wrote the column On Language for the New York Times Magazine from 1979 until earlier this month. The popular column explored the meanings, trends, and origins of words and phrases. He was also well known for writing a conservative op-ed column for the paper from 1973 to 2005. Before joining the Times, he was a speechwriter for former President Richard Nixon and Vice President Spiro Agnew. He told NPR's Morning Edition last year of how he came up with one of his most famous alliterative phrases.
When I was a speechwriter, Dwight Eisenhower had used prophets of gloom and doom to attack defeatists. And so I came up with nattering nabobs of negativism.
The wordsmith died Sunday in hospice care in Rockville, Maryland, while battling pancreatic cancer. Claudine Ebate, NPR News, Washington.
According to Philippine officials, the death toll from the massive flooding that hit Manila and nearby provinces has risen to 140. The storm hit the southern Philippines on Saturday before moving toward the South China Sea. The flooding has been described as the worst in Manila in 42 years. Philippine Defense Secretary Gilbert Teodoro reports that army troops, police, and civilian volunteers backed by U.S. troops are continuing a search and rescue effort. The official says welfare agencies are distributing food, medicine, and other help to more than 115,000 people in government-run shelters. In addition to Manila, officials say the storm swamped entire towns, overturned vehicles, and set off landslides. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News in Washington.